Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long.
Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmackdogs! Ah, let's go! That reminds me, SIU's got a big one tonight against Valpo. Let's go, dogs! Let's get it done. All right, it is the drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Good evening. Lante, no Derek Piper. He joined us in the first hour. Of course, we always record that first hour and play it again from 5 to 6. So if you missed it, you're going to hear Pipes from Happy Valley coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Kyle Tost, the intern, is with me today. All right, I played you a little. We're going to get to this Purdue schedule, I promise. We're going to also hear from Brad Underwood and Ty Rogers this hour as Illinois gets set for Penn State tonight. 6 o'clock tip in Happy Valley. I played you some Morgan Wallen, and you said that wasn't bad. And so I played you another Morgan Wallen song, You Proof. What did you think of it?
It was pretty good.
Okay. All right. That's all I ask. I'm not expecting you to fall in love with. And I know
I'll give it a chance.
Okay. I know you're not a big country guy. And so Sal said the same thing. He's like, I'm with Kyle on this. I'm not a big all right. So, you know, it's I got one more for you, all right? One more country. And like today's my day to kind of introduce you to country music a little bit, right? Now you got a taste of this guy at the Super Bowl. Because he sang the national anthem. Little Chris Stapleton, right?
It's Tennessee whiskey.
Will you tell me that's not one of the smoothest voices you've ever heard?
You're as sweet as strawberry wine.
I would love to hear him sing any song. Any song.
You're as warm as a glass of brandy.
What do you think? Do you even know what brandy is?
And honey,
yes, but
I've never had it, to be honest with you. I think I took a drink one time. I was like, nope, not for me. Yeah, so that's Chris Stapleton. You think you could get to like him, or is he too slow?
A little slow. Places. I don't know.
I get it.
I will say I thought his rendition of the anthem at the Super
really
Bowl
good.
Was fantastic.
Was really good. I'll give you something to watch on YouTube, all right?
Okay.
Check out Stapleton and Timberlake singing that song on YouTube.
All
they
right.
did it at a I guess it would have been the Country Awards show one year. It is fantastic. Of course, Timberlake brings a little New Orleans to it, you know, or Memphis. He brings that little Memphis blues. And then, of course, Stapleton's got that voice. It was awesome. You know what I did last night? I went down a rabbit hole and I'm never used to being home anymore, right? Because, like, tonight we're in Pontiac, which I literally have to get off the show and drive as hard as I can to make it for the tip-off tonight, right? It's an hour and 31 minutes to Pontiac. Nothing like being in a conference with Pontiac. Yeah, that's wonderful. So last night I was actually home and had nothing to do, right? So I flipped on YouTube. I was going to watch Netflix, and I'm like, nah. So I go to YouTube. And I started listening to Garth Brooks. And you know Garth, right?
I
mean, you do know Garth. And I love Garth Brooks. I've been to about 4 or 5 of his concerts. He's the best performer live I've ever seen. But he has a show, and I had forgotten about it. He did a one-man show in Vegas that is awesome. And I'm not telling you, you won't probably enjoy it. But, like, your parents would love it because he kind of takes you through the life of Garth Brooks and how he kind of got his music started, like, from his dad, from his mom, from his brothers. It's so cool. So if you get a chance, YouTube that. It's Garth in Vegas. It's just him on the stage. And he is so ridiculously talented. It's awesome. All right, that's enough of the music. I apologize to Kyle shoving country down his throat here today to try to get him to like it just a little bit. What do you listen to?
I mean, I don't.
Is there any, like, is your favorite group is?
I don't have a favorite,
no?
Man.
Like, do you listen to Kanye? Do you listen to Rihanna? Like, I like a couple Rihanna songs. I thought she did well.
I thought so, too.
Do you
I
listen?
Like The Weeknd.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got you there. Billy Joel?
No.
I thought I'd go old school on your one time just to see. All right. I'm
trying to catch me off guard.
I did.
There.
Yeah. I tried to get you off guard there. Did you see that U2 did the post Super Bowl party? Did you see that?
I did see that.
Because I was trying to get you. I mean, like, you and Derek, like, literally had no idea.
Derek didn't know about
that
them either.
That was impressive.
So I'm for once,
you
I'm
were,
not just alone on everything.
You were validated on that one. I was like, no, you too, man. They're awesome. They'd kind of be like The Weeknd now. I mean, like, you too was really, although they're more popular than The Weeknd
right.
is now. But I get where you're going. All right, let's go to the Purdue schedule. I got to hear if any other team in this Big Ten Conference has a chance to catch Purdue. And, of course, them losing to Northwestern kind of opened the door a little bit. And you know that Illinois plays at West Lafayette. So let's focus in on Illinois. Who cares if somebody else wins
right.
it? So you know Illinois at least. Just tell me you got a chance going into the final. It's kind of like Iowa coming here last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, although Iowa wasn't going to win the Big Ten if they beat us, but they could have stopped us from winning it. And it's like, oh, my gosh. I think Illinois played a little bit on their heels last year, especially in that first half against Iowa. And Iowa got up to like a 15-point lead in that game because the pressure of knowing that if we win at least a share of the Big Ten title. So give me a chance to win a share of the Big Ten title.
It makes you play the scenarios out in your head. Purdue okay. moves to 12-3 in conference with that loss. Now, they still have a pretty sizable lead on everybody
two
else
games,
for the
right?
moment.
Two
it
games.
Is 2.5 games.
Oh, 2.5. Wow.
On Indiana and Northwestern and 3 on Illinois, although they've played 15 games. Illinois played 13. So it's I think there's about one path, really, that I can see. Now, I think they've opened the door a little bit. I will say this. The most important game, I think, for anybody in the Big Ten looking to try to overtake Purdue or at least tie with Purdue
right.
is this Thursday when Purdue goes to Maryland. Maryland's 13-1 at home this year, playing really well. That's a game that Purdue needs to lose for these teams
okay.
to really,
okay.
really start to feel like they have a chance. And I think that I would probably pick Maryland right
okay.
now in that game. I just think Maryland at home has been really, really good.
I would agree with you.
Purdue has kind of shown some signs of in these
mm-hmm.
road games to kind of melt down a little bit. The freshmen are looking like freshmen in these road environments. So let's say Purdue loses to Maryland
okay.
at Maryland. Illinois beats Penn State tonight. Purdue's at 12-4. Illinois is at 9-5.
Okay.
One back in the loss column.
And let's go ahead, and I'm just going to four giggles. I'm going to give Illinois the Northwestern Minnesota game
mm-hmm.
just to even the schedule up a
yes.
little bit because Purdue's played so many more games than you.
Yep.
So Purdue would be 12-4, and if Illinois are handed those two, they'd be 11-5.
That's right.
You'd be one game back. Now, obviously, you still have to go to Indiana in between there.
That's right. You do. But
you'd have
but
to
again,
win that game.
All you need to be is one back of Purdue
yes.
heading to Mackey Arena, and you're playing for a share of the conference title. I don't see a scenario where Purdue straight up loses the conference.
I don't think
they're pretty much guaranteed a share, but you're just looking to get a share of the conference. So, basically, one scenario is that Purdue loses once and Illinois wins out leading up to that game,
okay.
which we just mentioned. Other games on Purdue's schedule, they're home against Ohio State.
No.
They're going to win that game.
Yeah.
Home against Indiana, which...
You never know in those rivalries,
you just never
right?
know.
And Indiana's beating them this year.
My early prediction in that is that they are going to be amped up to get revenge on that game against Indiana, but... That is a game that they absolutely could lose. And they go to Wisconsin, which obviously Wisconsin is not setting the world on fire this
right.
year. But going on the road in any Big Ten game, I think it is tougher. So those are Purdue's other three games. So let's say Illinois were to lose to Indiana on the road, they'd need another Purdue loss. It's dicey. It's dicey for sure. But there's a way. I think Illinois pretty much controls their own destiny here if Purdue loses one more time.
Okay, interesting.
So that's, I guess, how you have to look at it. I do think Indiana has a little bit of a better chance to emerge there just since they have another game against Purdue here coming up as well.
So do me a favor and read the remaining games for Purdue.
They're at Maryland, home against Ohio State, home against Indiana, at Wisconsin, and then home against Illinois.
Okay. You almost need Wisconsin to do their thing.
You do.
But I don't know that I trust that Wisconsin's going to
do their thing. Maybe Wisconsin just wants Illinois to win conference titles. They lost to Nebraska last year to open the door. That's maybe they'll help them out again. I don't know.
That's a great point on that. All right. Well, that's interesting. I mean, look, it's a long shot.
It is.
It is a long shot due to what Purdue has been able to do, especially early in the year. I mean, you figure they lost at home to Purdue. Or, I'm sorry, to Rutgers. Then they lose at Northwestern. I mean, those are two games I probably wouldn't assume Purdue would lose. And yet they lost those two and are still 12-3 in the Big Ten. And, of course, the loss to Indiana. Tim says on the U of I Atlantic Lake text line, I'd guess the Indiana-Illinois game would determine which team has the best chance to overtake Purdue. Indiana's going to sneak in and prove the national media right. You're correct.
That's a great point.
I wasn't bought in all the way on Indiana, but the jump that Trace Jackson Davis has made has really changed my mind because he is playing unbelievable, unbelievable. All right.
I think that's a good point. I
do too.
The winner of that game truly does have a chance to overtake Purdue. Or not overtake them, but to match them
to
get a share of the conference title.
Indiana's probably got the best chance, right?
They do.
Because
they've
got Illinois at home.
Illinois at home to kind of say, get out of here. You're not going to factor in. And then they got Purdue again. So if they sweep Purdue, that's the best way to try to
earn
that share.
I never would I root for Indiana. And I'm not exactly a huge Purdue fan. So that would be ugly to have to know that you need Indiana to beat them to tie, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on that. All right, we're going to hear from Brad Underwood when we return. One thing on the U of I Atlantic Lake text line, Patrick says Stapleton and Timberlake have a song together called Say Something. The video is amazing. Now, I've told you
about
this.
I've heard that
song.
One. Yeah. I have heard it.
I've told you about this song. I feel like the video they did on one take. I don't know if that's the case, but the video appears that it was shot on one take, which is pretty amazing. So if you haven't seen the video, you have to go to YouTube or wherever and check out Say Something from Stapleton and Timberlake because it's pretty awesome. Randy wants me to play Charlie Daniels' song, The Legend of the Woolly Swamp. That I know you're not going to like. I'm just going to throw that out. 217 also said they might like Stapleton and Timberlake Say Something. So we'll have to go to a break. Guess what? I just happen to have it queued up for you. All right, when we return, we'll hear from Brad Underwood. He met with the media yesterday. Get everything he needs to get out there about this Penn State squad. We'll do it next. It is The Drive.
Hi, we're your Prairie Gardens plant experts. Let's talk about winter houseplant care.
Two things you'll want to do is water less and stop fertilizing because houseplants go dormant in the winter or really slow down. And you'll also want to hold off on doing any repotting until March or so.
It's also a good idea to move your houseplants to where they may get a bit more sun.
Just make sure to keep them away from drafts and vents when you do move them. Come to Prairie Gardens. We are here to answer all your plant questions.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local, hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at KelseyFurniture.com. That's KelseyFurniture.com.
Buy the AC and get the furnace for free. You heard that right. For a limited time, when you buy a qualifying AC system from Matex, the furnace costs you nothing. There has never been a better time to upgrade your comfort with Matex, the most trusted service provider in Central Illinois for over 25 years. We don't know how much longer we can offer this, so don't miss out on our best deal ever. Call or visit GetTheFurnaceFree.com today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Matex, feel the difference.
Now, the NIL jersey lineup for your Fighting Illini. Number 55, Sky Clark. Number 15, R.J. Melendez. Number 10, Luke Goody. Number 20, Ty Rogers. Number 0, Terrence Shannon Jr. And number 33, Coleman Hawkins. Get yours at State Farm Center on game day, online or in stores. Game Day Spirit, official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
You have money laying all around your house. You just don't know it. And no, I don't mean selling your great-grandma's good china. I mean all the old metal items you don't want to use or get rid of. Don't pay someone to haul it away. Bring it into Max Twin City Recycling and get paid to have it taken off your hands. They love new customers and are more than willing to walk you through their process step by step. Come check them out at 2808 North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window. And whatever your project, you can count on Kramer Siding to offer you the best products backed by the best warranties in the business and a lifetime of great customer service. And right now, you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks, get 15% off gutter helmet, and you can save 25% on preservation siding, windows, and doors. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com and let's get started on your project.
Don't miss your chance to cheer on Fighting Illini basketball this season.
Deafening in here, 15,000, another shutout.
We need all of Illini Nation to help us defend State Farm Center.
Shannon, hello! Slam dunk!
Great seat locations are still available for you to see Illinois basketball live this season.
And the celebration is on!
Get your tickets today at FightingIllini.com.
Join the U of I Alumni Association today. With your annual membership fee, new members will enjoy discounts to Illini merchandise and tickets, career counseling, continuing education, and many more benefits. In addition, the Alumni Association has worked hard building the Alma Market, where visitors can shop Illini-owned businesses and support their favorite local retailers in Champaign-Urbana. For details on these exciting new ventures connecting our Illini community, visit UIAA.org. Go Illini!
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
Kyle, we need new songs. That's what today has been all about. We've been playing these same songs forever, and we just need new ones. So we'll have to get in here one day, and Kyle's like, well, I don't get paid to do this. Why don't you get in here one day and
I'll
do it?
I'll do that.
Well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if we can get that organized. That or I'll come in on a Saturday and just knock them out. I mean, now that I know how to do it, right? I used to have the, Trevor would always do it because I'm like, I don't know how to do it. And now I don't have that excuse because now I know how to do it. So I can't use that on you like I could Trevor. And Trevor would always be like, I'll show you. And I'm like, I just don't know how to do it. You kids and your technology and all this stuff, you know. All right, so you clipped out Brad Underwood talking about the Kansas City Chiefs for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the guy would go on and on about his
said
Chiefs.
The S word.
Yeah, he said, if you think I'm going to talk about Penn State, you're full of beep.
I thought that was funny, though. I thought that was really funny. And then even Pipes, our own guy, even asked him about the holding call at the end, and he's like, oh, that wasn't
great call.
Yeah, that was a great call. I mean, so it was pretty funny. And then he talked about Mahomes and how he's kind of an everyday guy like the rest of the Illini. And I kind of would agree with that with Patrick Holmes. Mahomes.
He was a warrior these playoffs, man.
He was. Do you ever kind of get the whole, like, okay, you're overdoing it a little bit on the ankle? Like, here's what I mean. He gets rolled up on, right? Or he doesn't get rolled up on, but, you know, he gets tackled and he comes limping off like literally he needs his right ankle amputated, you know? And so I'm like, man. And then all of a sudden, you know, final drive of the game, he just scampers for 26. And I'm like, no, I think he obviously, he was a warrior and he's so good.
He's
Jalen Hurts was really good.
He was, man. Wanted to see him get a last chance there. If that
I know,
holding call, they swallowed the flag there. Chiefs kicked the field goal, and Hurts gets to come on out and give it one more shot. I would have loved to see that.
I was torn because I think it was a holding call.
Right, I'm not saying they shouldn't have thrown the flag. It's just from a selfish fandom perspective, it ruined it.
It felt like that Bills-Chiefs game last year in the AFC Championship. Yep. That it just wouldn't end. And it was almost like whoever has the ball last is going to win this thing. I mean, it was just Allen touchdown, Mahomes touchdown. Allen touchdown, Mahomes touchdown. It was amazing. But, you know, I know a lot of people have beef about that call. But to me, if you're an official, you're out there for the length of the game. Like, you can't decide that the last minute and a half, now all of a sudden you're going to let anything go, right? Uh-huh. To me, if I were an official, I would say, if I see a penalty, I'm throwing the flag. And they obviously saw the penalty. Now, you have different things that happen there. Like in basketball, they'll always say they swallow their whistle, you know, in the last, like, 10 seconds. They try not to be the reason that a game ends or a reason that a certain team wins a game. But, listen, it's tough, right? I mean,
it is. I'm not going to sit here and complain about the officials making the correct call. For as much as I get annoyed with officials in every sport, I'm not going to be the one that's like, oh, well, now you made the right call. Why would you do that? Come on now.
What the? Hey, I saw something on Twitter one day, and it said somebody had asked a question of four different changes to the NFL or four different rules you could implement, and you had to pick one. And one of them was that you could instant replay calls. And I assume they would have to do it to where it's like, all right, we're not going to instant replay every call that happens.
You but get like just like a challenge system. Yeah, like maybe, you have to challenge it if you want it to.
So if you thought, you know, like in that situation, Philadelphia would have thrown the flag and said, we want to challenge the holding call. I think that would be, I would be fine with that. Now, you have some people like, I don't know, anybody that doesn't want to see more sports, like anybody that wants to shorten a game more than what it already is, then I guess I'm more of a sports fan than you. I like baseball. If a game goes 3.5 hours, I'm fine. That's 3.5 hours.
Agree.
I can get a nap in between. I love every second of it. I got nothing better to do, right? But if they actually said one is 1.5, that's enough, right? You don't need two. Yeah. Would you say that if you don't challenge one in the first half, you get two in the second half? I don't think you can do that. I think you give them – the problem here is that I feel like some teams – get calls and some teams don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like what would happen is the official would make a bad call. Now, of course, I guess like a challenge, if the call is bad, so if they called holding and they review it and it's not a hold, then you should still keep your challenge or you should still keep your ability to replay a call. But I kind of like that idea.
I do too. I know they tried one year after that Saints-Rams NFC Championship. They tried the next year could challenge pass interference, and it didn't really go well because it's just so objective still. Even when you're looking back at the replay, there's still a level of
I know.
Of, you know.
And so I think they could call holding on an offensive lineman every play.
Right. I think it would be a lot of use for the obvious ones. Like when there's like three or four games this year where there's a really blatant pass interference or a guy's got two hands around a receiver. Mm-hmm. And if a coach could say, all right, go take a look at that and realize that you screwed that one up and give us the penalty, I think that would do some benefit.
I think it'd be cool. I would be okay for one season saying that a coach gets one, you know, you still get your challenge flag for a play, but that you get to challenge a call that is made on the field. Now, would you call it, like, if you feel like your guy got held and they didn't call it, can you challenge that? That'd be interesting.
See, The offensive line holds. That's tough, man. That's
of course,
just...
you'd have to have a camera on every, but seemingly they do.
They do, yeah.
I mean, it seems like they do. So, I don't know. It's just something to think about. Like, I almost feel like it'd have to be you can challenge a flag that was called. Like, you can't just, like, say, well, I saw something over there that you didn't call. I'm going to challenge it. It should have been a penalty. Or maybe you can. I don't know. I'm interested to see. We'll have to bring this topic up another day with Pipes.
Yeah.
And see what he thinks about that, because there might be something obvious that I'm not even thinking about. So, all right, Brad Underwood met with the media. He was pretty funny on the Chiefs thing, but we cut that out. Sorry, Brad. Your Chiefs have had enough media attention this week. Here is Brad talking about Penn State. Let's go.
Early morning wake up this morning to, continue to dive into Penn State. And I thought after the first 8 minutes of the Rutgers game, we did some nice things. I thought we had good shots. I thought we missed Dane a little too much in that stretch. But I thought the... Our defensive focus was in the right place. And then once we cleaned up the rebounding, I liked where we were at. I loved Ty and Sincere, what they brought. But Jaden defensively probably made as few mistakes as he's made in a game on that side of things. Did a great job on Spencer. So now we get a Penn State team who really embarrassed us in the first game. And it was a time where we weren't playing very well. We were not very good on either end of the court. We were especially bad on the offensive side. We can look at all the defensive shortcomings, but our inept offense helped lead to some very, very poor defensive sequences. They hurt us in transition. Anytime you get three or four or five guys close to 20 points, it's not a very good night. They got one of the best players in our league in Pickett, and in my opinion, they've got as underrated a player as there is in American, Seth Lundy. Seth's, nine threes in a game against Nebraska. If he's open, he makes it. And, they get to be a challenge. So we're a completely different team, really on both ends of the court than we were the first time we met. We've got to go to their place. We've got to play extremely hard. We've got to play extremely well. We've got to try to keep them out of transition and just be more solid than we were in the first game. So Mike is doing a great job, and that team is very, very talented offensively.
How have they changed in 2 months?
They're the same team. They're doing what they do, and the little point guard who actually played against us is coming off. He's very, very quick, very athletic. He's coming off 17-point night against Maryland. He helps them with ball handling, so it's not just Pickett all the time. They're rotating bigs. They've got a couple of them who can pick and pop, so they give you different looks, a lot like we do with Dane and Coleman. They're doing a lot of the same things, and they've got tweaks that they've got counters upon counters for all your everything they see. So you've got to guard them, you've got to be true and honest, and not try to cheat things where they make you pay.
Orson, lessons learned from that first game, how to defend Pickett.
He's done it against everybody. So take your medicine there a little bit, and what we can't do is what we did the first game: give him 17 and 7 assists, and or whatever he had on point. But you can't give him both, and you got to make his life hard. You've got to. You've got to challenge it. And he's big and strong. He loves to just bang and bang and bang, and that gives him a rhythm. We got to try to keep him out there earlier. But we can't give Funk and Lundy and Dredd and Winter, and you can't give those guys clean open looks from three. That's where they've got tremendous spurt ability where they can hit three or four or five in a row if you just get worried about Pickett.
You talked about the defense of your freshmen the other night, but what's the foundation of it? Is it just buy-in, and then you just max their trades?
Learning. Learning. Most high school kids have no idea how to play defense. You know, they play because they score on offense. You know, you start talking terminology, jumping to the ball, seeing both, crackdowns. You start talking about all those things. Most of them have never heard it. And if they have, it still happens now at a different speed. And guarding the basketball, how to get over screens, all those things are new. You don't just learn them overnight. It takes time to create habits. And you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so you can't put a weak link out there or the other four guys are negated as well. So, you know, that's the challenge with freshmen. And it makes it very hard to play. It's why veterans have such a big advantage is they understand. But this group has really bought into that and really committed themselves to that, and they're making fewer and fewer mistakes.
Defensive numbers on synergy don't always tell us the full story for a player, but those three are 90th percentile, all three of them. What does that say, and how rare is that for freshmen?
Yeah, it's very rare, very rare. And we're very well aware of, one, their commitment to it, to that side of the ball. It's unusual to see that. I have great appreciation. That's why I love those freshmen. I've said it many, many times. Their approach to basketball is about the winning side. It's not about how many points do I score. Jaden, who was a prolific scorer in high school, is taking unbelievable pride in what he's doing on the defensive side. That doesn't go unnoticed on his teammates. It sure doesn't go unnoticed by his coaches. There's a DeMonte Williams-esque approach about things, winning plays, the little things. How do I change a game by guarding and then their versatility is, with Sincere being able to guard multiple guys, Ty being able to guard multiple guys is really impressive.
It's like your defensive changes since December, maybe a little better suited to handle the team. I mean, they're going to shoot a ton of threes, like, regardless of circumstance. Just to handle that better?
I hope so. We're going to find out. I hope so. I mean, we were in the 50s then. In DER, we're 15 today, I think. We're 16. So we've got to be dialed in. I'm also the realization they make shots. They're going to make some. They've got guys who have the ability to make hard shots. To counter that, we have to contest, make them as hard as possible. And then you've got to be able to run really good offense against them and make them guard and do those things. So I'm encouraged by our growth on the defensive side. We were a completely different team than we were the last time we played them.
Offensively, what went wrong that first time on offense? What are you doing better now?
Well, a very false sense of reality. Matt made a bunch of balls early, and we thought it was going to be just that easy. But we never moved. We never made them guard. We were very impatient, very isolated in terms of our isolations. We were just a different team. That we didn't play very well. We didn't play very smart then. We turned it over a bunch. And you take bad shots in college basketball, and those lead to runouts. And we gave up a ton in transition, and you can't do that.
Have your defensive changes, are they better equipped to handle Pickett's post-ups with that, without the switch everything? And how big of an opportunity is that for Sincere and Jaden?
Well, it's not one person. You know, it's everybody. You know, and it's they hurt us with the slips. They hurt us from the three. They pretty much destroyed everything we tried to do in the first game. But I don't want to say one way or another. I mean, we are who we are. We're going to do what we do. Pickett's done that against pretty much everybody in the league in some fashion or another. And you've got to just make them hard. And like I said, if they're challenged, we'll live with it.
The defensive style kind of forcing some up twos that requires a little bit of patience from guys. How have they kind of been developing that and kind of having that consistently?
It's an attitude, and it is an understanding that you know, it's, you want the perfect game, so you want them to miss every shot and to be contested. And guys at this level don't do that. They make hard shots. And, you know, it's just, I think they were 9 of 33 on contested twos in our last game. And yet, when that game started, you saw McConnell in the paint, you saw some guys taking some hard shots and actually make it over the course of a 40-minute game. That's hard to do. It's hard to play fatigued and make those shots. It becomes a challenge. It becomes not as easy to do. And eventually, you hope that wins out. And so they're patient. It's all we talk about in practice, hard twos. Just make them be contested. And if they make them, they make them. And at some point, maybe you have to adjust. But it's been a philosophy. It's been very good for us.
What's the RJ status for this game?
He'll be in uniform.
What's the next steps for Luke?
Just get his feet wet. I mean, just playing. I mean, I intended on playing him a few more minutes, but that group in the second half got on an incredible run, and I'm one of those guys that's just going to let it play out. So he's going to help us. He's going to play. He's going to play probably more minutes than he's played, and that's the intent of trying to get him back in the fold.
Just to be clear, will RJ be available to play? I mean, is that the same? Okay.
You talk about injuries, it's maybe not, getting back on the court, but like the next day. I mean, what was it made like for Luke to play 5 minutes and then deal with
it? I think when you check into a game, there's a sense of nervousness when you haven't done it in a while that's different. You just, and it's just touching the ball in a game and seeing a different colored jersey and hearing the crowd noise. And I think the one thing that you understand is that you got to play through that. You got to play through those jitters, if you want to call them that, and then you got to find that comfort. And the game has to slow down. And Luke sees that in practice, but it's a different vibe in the game. So he's got to be patient. He's got to have a great understanding. I thought he did most of that the other night. And get your teeth wet. Block it out. Get your bell rung a little bit by sticking somebody coming off a screen or doing whatever. You just got to find that game time feeling, and that's hard to explain. But I thought he did a really good job the other night of kind of handling those moments.
The second half, do anything for Terrence, who'd been struggling a little bit offensively, and did his approach change or just make shots?
I made shots. He took them when they were there. I thought he. He can't worry about whether he's getting fouled or not. He's got to. He played exceptionally well in the second half, and it doesn't matter. You kind of look down, and all of a sudden he's got 15 to 20, and his value is exceptional. We can't take him for granted. I mean, he's one of the best players in this league, and I got to do a better job of getting him shots earlier. I didn't like his FGAs in the first half. I got to get him a couple more and in situations that we want him to be in, not always broken floor or open court stuff, in situations that we actually control those.
Dane Danger had a different role the last time you played these guys. How can he impact this game? Does it make it more difficult for you guys to scout than you have a different role now?
No, it doesn't make any difference. Scout, he's got to be different. In fact, his approach is he's got to go out on the floor and guard. He's more than likely going to guard if the second half they start Miles Gregg. They want to start that. Dane's well more equipped to do that now than he was in early December, whenever we played that game. He's seen that. He had not really seen that in non-league games. So he's more in tune with that. But Dane was truly a freshman, in that game, and he's grown up a little bit.
The top five or six in the league got a little tighter. You're taking a loss. You guys obviously won Indiana. Do you talk about a race to be had, a chance to get one?
We pay attention. I mean, if last year taught me anything, and taught us anything, tally them up at the end. You don't do anything until you tally them up at the end. You know, it's like voting for all conference and voting for this and that. 4 games left in the season, 3 games left. Tally them up at the end. And there's a lot of basketball left. We got a lot of very competitive teams. We got a lot of very competitive games. And it is one game at a time. And you know, you've every team, you know, goes through a streak or goes through it. This league is too good not to. And even in Purdue's case, so they lost 2 of 3 or whatever. You can make a streak whatever you wanted to make it. But it's the Big Ten, it's the best league in the country, best coaches, great players. And you know, you gotta play them till the last date and then look and see where you're at.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Aftershock Decals and Design, and right now we are looking for an honest, hardworking individual that wants a career with Aftershock Decals and Design. If you have any kind of experience wrapping vehicles, tinting windows, we want you.
You can't touch this.
No, not that kind of wrapper.
Can't touch this.
Please go to our website at aftershockdd.com, click on the jobs tab, and send in your resume. We want you. AftershockDD.com.
Lance Heating and Cooling here today to talk to you about your furnace or air conditioner. With these cold temps outside right now, we wanted you to know we've got dozens of furnaces and air conditioners ready in our warehouse. Call us today and Kurt or Michael will come out to your home free of charge, measure your home, and we can help you decide what system fits your house and your budget. Our team of skilled installation techs can come out and get your furnace working so that heat is on and working perfectly for you. Lance Heating and Cooling. Why call anyone else?
Jets is hiring. Call 217-352-9992 or stop into 1907 West Springfield Avenue near Round Barn in Champaign. Jets is open till 10 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays till midnight. Are you looking for a side hustle? Here's Josh from Jets talking about the benefits of doing deliveries.
When I was a delivery driver, it was amazing how much the actual amount of money I had just shot right up. You have money in your pocket every single day.
For details on joining the team, visit JetsPizza.com.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys, Lante and Derek Piper, weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
All right, it is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Kyle Tosk. Derek Piper joined us earlier. You'll hear him again next hour from Happy Valley. I had to sneeze. I don't think that's ever happened on the air. I pointed at you like, start talking. All right. Ty Rogers also met with the media. Wanted you to hear Ty, who's really starting to play some pretty good basketball for this Illinois team.
Why is there a little bit of a revenge factor going into this game?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, they came in here and beat us pretty bad last time we played. So we got a lot of energy for this game, and we're ready.
Oh, Coach talked about just you guys as freshmen, there's so much defensively to learn, terminology, the whole nine yards. Like, what was the process for you personally, and did you talk with Sincere and Jaden about getting up to speed quickly on that?
Yeah, I think just every day in practice when we're going through, just being able to learn and being able to just lock in. I think we're still learning. I think it's tough. It's different. I think in high school, everybody can guard one-on-one. But when you put in ball screen coverages and help side defense and things like that, it gets a little tricky. So I think for us, just coming in and watching film on other players like Trent and just seeing how they did it is helping us.
Why do you think you three collectively had had so much success on that side of the ball?
I think just our will and our effort to want to do it. I think defense is just all about effort and wanting to do it. So I think we all know that's going to help us win, and that's what we've been doing.
Is there a time period where it switches for you, where you just, where that will and energy, you've always been an energetic and effort guy, but is there something that changed for you through the course of the season?
No, for me, it's just being ready when my number's called, not getting down on myself. Just staying mentally locked in has been the key for me. And just when I'm called, just go in and play as hard as I can, and everything else gonna take care of. So.
Last time out against these guys, they bullied the ball into the rim a little bit. Now that you're playing a bigger role, do you think that'll help change the game a little bit from last time out?
I'm gonna do whatever I take. Do whatever it takes to win when I get in. If that means guarding Pickett or whoever it is, I'm gonna try to do that to the best of my ability.
With a guy like Pickett, what are kind of the keys to guarding someone who has guard skills but also likes to go in the mid post kind of a lot?
He's an angle guy, so for him, it's just not letting them get to his angles, trying to be aggressive with him, and just making things hard for him.
Thought he was gonna make that.
You've been a guy that, even coming up, defense is important to you. Like, how far back does that go? Defense, rebounding, like that kind of stuff for you as a player.
Since I started playing, honestly, I said this to you guys before, but Saginaw, Michigan is just kind of what we breed. We breed dogs, and we fight. We fight for everything we're trying to get, and it's kill or be killed. So just when I'm out there, that's my mentality going towards stuff.
Even as a guy that was a really good defender in high school, how much was there to learn, or how much further did you have to come to where you are now?
Oh, a lot. I had so many wake-up calls. When I first got on campus, I thought I was a good defender. But this summer, I really got tested a lot. And going up against guys like TJ and Matt and Coleman, every day it's been extremely good for me.
It's when you're in a situation where, you know, you're holding Rutgers without a point for 10 minutes, going to 19-0 run, does the vibe change on the court? Does it just sort of kind of build on itself a little bit?
Absolutely. I feel like in that game the other day, we were so connected. And you can feel that. I feel like the whole building can feel that. The energy is different. Even in the timeouts, everybody's just cool, calm. So it's good. Yeah.
I mean, you might not have a situation like that again. It's pretty rare. But how do you maybe tap into that kind of connection, make it more consistent?
Man, I would just say, as a team, when things get hard, just stay locked into each other. It's been the biggest thing for us, because when things get hard, sometimes we tend to yell and get on each other real bad and things like that. So, for us, it's staying locked in together, and I think we can go on those runs at any time.
After the Big Ten race got a little tighter, how do you look at that when you go into games now?
We're just going to take games one at a time, knowing what we're fighting for. It's wide open right now, so... we're just going to take games one at a time and just try to get a win.
You know, in the past, Ty, you had talked about the fluctuation of minutes was hard for you to personally adjust to. As those have kind of stabilized, maybe a little more consistently, how has that helped you at all in the course of a game?
Yeah, it's helped my mental tremendously. Just knowing that sometimes I'm going to play big minutes and sometimes I might not. So just being ready with my numbers called.
When Coach said if they need a rebound, he goes... when they need a rebound, he goes to you on the bench. What's that mean to you that he has that trust in the throes of a Big Ten season, has that trust in you to go and execute that?
It helps my confidence a lot. Like I said, he's built that confidence into me all year. Just even when we're practicing, he tells me to go get every rebound. Before games, he's like, I need 10 from you. So just him having that confidence in me is huge.
How long have you been a Chiefs fan?
Honestly, he's joking. I'm an Eagles fan.
Are you really?
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah.
How long do you think you have to endure this in the wake of the Super Bowl? How long do you think you have to endure Coach bragging about the Chiefs?
Oh, it's going to be all day.
Cut it off after today.
I think It's probably going to go for about a week. Yeah, about a week probably.
Who's worse, him or Tyler?
Ooh. I might have to say him. I might have to say him, yeah. Yep.
Having some fun with Ty Rogers there, obviously. That kid's gaining confidence, Kyle.
He is.
He's gaining confidence, and, you know, that's... He's going to be one of those, I bet, next season makes just an unbelievable jump.
I agree with that 100%. I especially think offensively.
Yes.
With another offseason to really improve and work on some things, I think he's going to be tough to stop getting to the basket next
Kind of has an idea now of what it's, you know, what it's all about, et cetera. So, all right, Penn State, Illinois, tonight at Penn State, at Happy Valley, who you got?
I have Illinois, and I'm going to be a little bold here when I say Penn State came into Champaign and really smacked you, beat you by 15.
Oh, I know where you're going.
I think Illinois is going to get them right back.
Okay.
15-point victory tonight, 78-63 Illinois.
Wow! Okay, I like that. I do think Illinois wins this game. I think they're the better team. I think that a lot has changed since that really strange 0-3 start to the Big Ten. So I'm with you on that. I don't know that I've got enough confidence to say that big, but
That's probably smart.
Yeah, I'll do a little 76-70 victory for Illinois. That'll work. All right, you'll hear Derek Piper next hour, of course, as we go along. Kyle, I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
Thanks for stopping in. We're out. It is The Drive.
Hi, this is Kirk Lehman with Lehman Paintworks out of Forest, Illinois, and we are looking for you. If you are a body shop technician who likes working on semis and making wrecked trucks look brand new again, you are the man for the job. Get on our website at laymanpaintworks.com or give us a call at 815-657-7590. We want you. Please go to our website at laymanpaintworks.com, click on the jobs tab, and send in your resume.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit BulldoggyBag.com.
That's BulldoggyBag.com.
Hi, this is Steve from Good Vibes.
And this is Luke Goody from your men's basketball team.
So, Luke, how's the rehab coming along?
Pretty good. The doctor says I might be cleared earlier than we thought.
Hey, that's great news. I know it's got to be tough for a player like you to ride the pine or the couch.
Yeah. Let's say I wanted a bigger, better TV while I'm recovering. What can I do on a college student's budget?
Luke, we go straight to Sony at every level, especially now with holiday pricing. You can get a 65-inch Bravia screen and stay in three figures. Sony's all about image quality, so their mid-grade models look better than the other guy's step-up sets.
I'm still pretty gimpy. Can Good Vibes deliver a 65-inch Sony and set it up in my place for under $1,000?
Absolutely, even after sales tax is added, and that's for the mid-level, not even the cheapest one. And for what it's worth, Good Vibes is a Sony warranty station, so in case anything goes wrong, we come to your place and take care of it. You won't get that from Amazon or Best Buy.
Maybe I can trade them for some basketball tickets? Kidding. Just kidding.
Now, the NIL jersey lineup for your Fighting Illini. Number 55, Sky Clark. Number 15, R.J. Melendez. Number 10, Luke Goody. Number 20, Ty Rogers. Number 0, Terrence Shannon Jr. And number 33, Coleman Hawkins. Get yours at State Farm Center on game day, online or in stores. Game Day Spirit, official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
You're listening to WSJK, ESPN 93.5, Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.